Okay, all right, works now. Okay, I hope the sermon will be recorded well today. Can you look at your clothes right now, the clothes you're wearing? Are these the new clothes? How often do you buy new clothes? How often do you renew your clothes? Every year? Every 2 years? Every Thanksgiving? Black Friday? When do you go out and buy your new clothes? So today, the scripture, Ephesians, use changing clothes as a way to talk about changing identity, to change from our old identity with the world to the new identity in Christ. Let's see what the scripture will be saying to us today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for the new life you've given us. May you give me good words to say, gracious words of truth, that your love and your conviction may be upon us, upon our heart. And may you grant us your spirit to live out this new life, to put on these new clothes for your glory and not for our own benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as usual, some recap of what we said last week. Do you remember what we said last week? The first half of Ephesians 4 talks about calling, right? What is the greatest calling Christians have? We're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Individual callings should give way to this ultimate calling. Our calling is for the church. It's not only for ourselves. Gifts. What kind of gifts Christ has given you? Do you have gifts in cooking? Do you have gifts in hospitality? Do you have gifts in greeting? Do you have gifts in teaching? How are you using this gift right now to bless the church and bless people around you? Maturity. We are to grow to maturity, to be mature, to not to be children anymore, tossed to and fro by human cunning, by false doctrines. We are to truly know the Christ, Jesus our Savior. We need to know this person in our life so we will not be easily fooled. Joints, right? Christ is the head, and we are all joints of his body. So what kind of joints are you? What kind of muscles are you pulling right now in your life, in this church, in your circle of friends? How do you make these muscles around you stronger so that you yourself will become stronger? And these are the things we talked about last Sunday. Let's go to the second half of Ephesians 4. Now this, the author, supposedly Paul, now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. So, remember, very first verse of this chapter, Paul urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And now he's saying, don't walk as you did previously, like a Gentile, right? The way you walked before is only to the futility. Futility means endlessness, to no ends. Whatever we think as Gentiles, as pagans, as people who are living without God, it only leads to emptiness, leads to no benefits. And they, here they are the Gentiles, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. Alienation means they are not participants of this covenant. They are not participants of the Holy Communion with the Lord. Ignorance meaning they are not able to comprehend God. They either ignore him or they just cannot see him because their eyes are blinded and their minds are callous. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Callous means, you know, when you try to teach your kids not to play with fire, what do you do? Right? You grab their hand and get close to fire and say, hot, right? You feel the pain, you feel the heat. What if you cannot feel that pain anymore? Being callous means you are not able to feel the pain anymore. And you don't know the danger. You keep playing with the fire. Sensuality means unrestrained living. Right? Because you have become callous. So you don't know how to restrain some of your appetites. You don't know how to restrain some of your anger. You don't know how to restrain some of your desires. It's a licentious lifestyle. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Impurity is on the contrary to holiness, doing whatever that is contrary to God's command. Greedy means insatiable craving. Now, we followed our appetite, we followed our desire, and we just want to get whatever we wanted. And that's how pagans live. As Christians, we should give up that kind of lifestyle. But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus only tells us the truth. And since we know this truth in Jesus, we should put off our old self. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Corrupt is corrupt. That is in present tense in Greek, which means it's continuous. It's not only corrupt, but it's getting more and more corrupt. I don't know if you've seen this in your, you know, among your friends, but I'm 50 years old this year. Sometimes when I have reunion with my friends, some of them are really getting worse, like way worse than they were, because some of them I knew since high school. They were not like that in high school. They're just getting worse and worse because this unstrained, licentious style of living, following their desires, following their appetites, and it takes a toll on their body, it takes a toll on their life. And desires, all these desires are deceitful. Desires will tell you, do this, it's okay. But after you do this, it is not okay, right? Pretty much like Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's okay to grab that fruit that God told you not to eat. It will be fine. But as it turned out, it was not fine. The desires are deceitful. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, this reminds us a similar teaching in Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and to put down a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The likeness of God, the image of God. Paul reminds us that we are created in the image of him. But here, the image of God is described specifically in terms of righteousness and holiness, characterized by truth. Righteousness and holiness are based on truth. Truth is the foundation of everything. And therefore, the first step to new life is to speak truth. This is what Paul says. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Tell the truth to the neighbor. And second thing is very interesting. It says, be angry and do not sin. Now, some translation goes by, if you get angry, you don't sin. But that's not the right way to look at this sentence, because in the original Greek, both verbs are imperative, meaning you must be angry and you must not sin. What does it mean? It means sometimes we do have righteous indignation. When people sin against us, when people do bad things, when we see evil things right in front of us, that we do get angry, and that's a righteous anger. But we need to make sure that we ourselves do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil, right? You cannot harbor anger forever. It's better to go to bed letting go of that anger. Have you ever slept with anger? How did that turn out? I did it once, maybe more than once. I had terrible sleep. Whenever I slept with anger, that sleep was terrible. And it's harmful to our body. Let the thieves, and that is the third thing that Paul asks us to do. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So there's a historical background for this, because people at Paul's time, they despised labor. People either are very rich, they came from aristocracy, the higher societies, and all their people who live off these higher societies, who are attached to the wealthy people. So these are the life models that they honor. They don't like those people working like lower class of the society doing manual work. And Paul, in multiple places, you remember, in his epistles, says, you know, I work with my own hands to earn my own living. Basically, to teach his audience, to teach his churches not to despise labor, not to despise manual work. And be honest, right? When you live out the rich people, sometimes you lie. We're going to go into this in more details later. But Paul basically asking them, do not take advantage of other people's wealth. Work with your own hands and make your own money. And the last thing is very interesting. Paul is saying, your paycheck is not yours. Your paycheck is to be shared with someone else in need. We talked about tithing before. We talked about offering. Why do we tithe? Why do we offer? Why do we share partially our income with people in need? Why? Because this is how we get rich. And Paul is teaching Christians how to be a real rich person. A real rich person is not someone who tries to crave for someone's riches, crave for someone's wealth, but someone who makes their own money, someone who earns their own income, and share with the poor in need. That's how we become rich people. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that you may give grace to those who hear. So this is the fourth thing that Paul asks us to do, to speak not only in truth, also to build up. Sometimes truth hurts, so we have to find a way to speak truth in a gracious way to build people up, not to put them down, not to tear them down. I want to see the occasion, right? As fits the occasion. We have to gauge the occasion and ask the Spirit to give us the right word to say in our occasion so that people may receive grace. They may feel affirmed, encouraged, and they can grow. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why does Paul say this? Because all the previous things, if we don't do, we grieve, we make Holy Spirit sorrowful. And this is a unique phrase. This is the only place that Paul says this in all throughout the New Testament. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There will be a day of reconciliation. There will be a day of reckoning. The Holy Spirit is the seal for us to be saved from that day, from the day of judgment. Instead of being judged, we'll be redeemed because of this Holy Spirit that's living in us. And we shall not grieve him. We should listen to his warning, and we should follow the Spirit's instruction. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, all these vices should be put away. Some of these vices are related to anger, right? That's why Paul says we have to restrain the anger. We should not let the sun go down on our anger, right? Because if this anger builds up, and all these things may come up, right? But anger is not the only root cause. Jealousy, greed, deceitful desires, they all contribute to all these vices. And last verse for this chapter, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving is the antidote for anger, right? Agree? Sometimes we anger about some bad things. We have to forgive. Forgiving means let go. Let go. Let go and forget. Okay, let's look at each action more in detail. Four things Paul asks us to do to live out this new life. First thing, speak truth. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Truth is the foundation of our relationships with our neighbors, right? Who are our neighbors? People who live next to us? Yes. Our own family members? Yes. Our coworkers, our classmates in school? Why is China in such bad shape right now? Why is coronavirus going out of control? Government lied. And in the first place, they're not telling the truth. Instead, they suppress the doctors who were telling the truth, and now this mess. Truth is the foundation of a society. Truth is the foundation of a healthy community. Paul did not come up with this commandment by himself. He was quoting Zechariah. I mean, we went through this verse before when we were preaching about minor prophets. Zechariah urged his people to speak the truth to one another. This is the second temple, do you remember? Second temple was built, or was being built. Render in your gates judgment that are true and make for peace. Zechariah said, for the second temple to work, not to fail like the first temple, you have to get rid of that deceit and lying. You remember before Israelites went into exile, they were cheating each other. They're taking advantage of each other. They're lying to each other. And Zechariah said, this is not how it works. Society cannot stand if you guys all tell lies to your neighbors. You have to tell truth to your neighbors to build a foundation of your relationship. And you learn Christ. You have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. Right? The reason why we can speak in truth now, because we know the Lord of truth. We know the God of truth. The Spirit of truth is living in us that will help us and enable us to speak truth to our neighbor. Second thing Paul asks us to do is to restrain anger. Oh, sorry, this is a typo. I should have checked. Be angry and do not sin, and give no opportunity to the devil. Why does Paul say that? Where's the opportunity for the devil? Because if the anger is out of control, then the devil can use it, right? For those of you who are parents, you know. Sometimes your kids did something really bad, which makes you angry. You have to control your anger, right? You may want to walk away from discipline at that moment to avoid sinning, right? A lot of child abuses, I believe, is out of anger. Our parents cannot control the anger. The initial intention was to discipline, but because this anger was out of control, it became venting of that anger and it becomes physical abuse. Right, the Bible warns us not to repay evil with evil, right? Not to be overcome with evil. And if anyone is caught in transgressions, we are spiritual, should restore him with gentleness. Yeah? And we should keep watch on ourselves, lest that we too be tempted. We have to restrain our anger. We have to control our anger. And also, Paul mentions this, do not let the sun go down on your anger. That word actually can be translated as the root cause of anger. We have to figure out why we're angry that day, before going to bed. We have to figure out why, and where to address that cause. If there's a sin that needs to be addressed, then we probably should address it. And we probably should let go, just let go, and forgive before we go to bed. But we have to address it. Third thing that Paul asks us to do, work and give. Not only work, but give. Right? Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. I found this verse very interesting. People who like to take advantage of other people's charity are often people who struggle with tithing or offering. In my previous church, this is in Hong Kong, so we don't have our building, so we rent a 4-star hotel. And we sometimes order lunch, right? So that church, we don't order lunch because we have 800 people, too much. So we order hors d'oeuvres, snacks. But these are good hors d'oeuvres. They are from the 5-star hotel. So they look really nice. So between the services, we have all these snacks outside in the balcony. People can go there and enjoy. But gradually, we found some people not coming to the surface at all, but they will just wait there. Right? It's actually, I think it's 10 o'clock. We remove the cover, and people can share snacks. People just wait there and jump in to grab the snacks. And eventually, we have to stop it. And these are the people who never offer to the church, who never tithe to the church, who never give offerings. They're grabbers. They're consumers. They don't know there's food. And the reason why we stopped it is because some hotel guests saw this. They are not members of that church. They're just guests of the hotel. They came here and they grabbed the food. The problem is not they grabbing the food. The problem is they actually cut the line. There are people lining up for the food. And these guests, they have no relationship with the church, so they don't care. With brazen face, they will go in and just cut the line, jump in the front and grab food and go. It's like, this is chaos. And we cannot take this anymore. So eventually we had to stop that service. Have you seen this movie?
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, okay? If you want to know the storyline, you have to go watch it.
It's a good movie. Oscar.
Yeah. No comments on that. The problem is, with the people in the movie is they try to live off the rich people. They try to take off the advantage of someone's wealth. And things just go all the way downhill. Paul warns us not to take advantage of other people's charity. Okay? In workplace, do you have food parties in your workplace? Do people sometimes bring snacks? If your group brings snacks, you can share that, right? That's for you. But if other groups, they bring snacks, do you go and grab the snacks? That's probably not nice, right? If other groups see that, they feel like you are just taking advantage of them. Same thing with the church, with the school, right? If you want to join someone's party, it's better to bring something with you, right? To contribute. Every time you crash the party and just grab the food from other people, they're gonna notice. They notice you're a grabber. They notice you just want to take advantage of other people. Try to contribute. That's what Paul is saying here. Give. After you make money, you give. Not just grab. You have income now. Be a rich person. Give. Give to other people, not just grab. You keep grabbing, you'll be poor. You want to be rich, you have to give. Last thing Paul asks us to do. Don't you find it interesting that he starts with speaking and ends with speaking? He starts with speaking the truth. Now he ends his admonition with speaking to build. He says, no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that you may give grace to those who hear. And again, he's repeating himself. Previously, first half of the chapter, he said, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Christ. How do we help each other grow up? To speak the truth to each other in love. To build each other up, not to tear each other up. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. This is from Proverbs. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Our words can really harm people. Our words can really destroy someone's life. Some spouses jump out the building because their spouses told them to. And we see this on the news all the time. So we need to be careful about what we say to our loved ones, to people who are close to us, to our church members, to the co-workers, to our people in our families. Do you have a reputation of saying words that offend people? Do you have such a reputation in your workplace, in your school, or in your family? What should you do? You say, I know I need to speak to build up, but sometimes whatever I say, it just offends people, right? So what do you do? This is my advice. Don't talk. If you don't know how to say things to build up, then don't talk. Don't make comments. Yeah, zip it up. Put the duct tape over your mouth. Don't talk. This is what Prabhupada said. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. This is especially important for pastors. Because a lot of pastors get into troubles because they don't know how to restrain their lips. Some pastors going to someone's home, doing home business, making some comments, going to a ministry, making some comments. Before I came to Hoxie's, my seminary, many old pastors advised me, just don't say anything first year. First year, you just watch. You just sit and watch and don't make any comments. A wise pastor, I got this from a wise pastor. Actually, I think first year I got into trouble just exactly because I said something wrong. But a wise pastor once gave this advice. I know I forgot his name. I don't know his name, but he said, I will not, this is for him. He said, I personally will not make any statement until I hear answers for at least three of my questions. Meaning he will, in any conversation, he will only ask people questions and hear what they say. And he will not make any statement until he has three questions answered. Why do some people rush to speak? This is what Prabhupada said. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. There's more hope for a fool than for him. Do you hurry to speak? Prabhupada said, this is worse than a fool. Do not hurry to speak. Right? James, Book of James says, slow to, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Not only pastors lose their job for saying something wrong. People in workplace, they get hired, they get fired all the time. You've probably seen this every day. People get fired for saying something wrong. So don't hurry to speak. Another advice from Proverbs. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Why do you hurry to speak? Because you want to express what you think. You want to tell people, this is how you see this. But Prabhupada said, if you're hasty in this, you're a fool. A wise person takes pleasure in understanding. You want to be wise? You try to understand first. You ask questions in a gentle way. And you hear the answers. And you gauge the situation. You gauge the occasion. And you decide whether you want to make a comment or not. And many times I find silence is gold. Okay, so four things we learned today from Paul, from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's repeat these four things together. Let's read them together. First thing, speak truth, restrain anger, work and give, speak to build. Let's pray. Father God, we trust the Apostle Paul and or whoever wrote Ephesians. This person had your spirit and is teaching us now with your spirit. Help us to remember the lessons today. Help us to put on this new self, totally identified in you, Jesus Christ. Because you, the God of truth, the Spirit of truth, lives in us. Now we can have the ability, the courage to speak truth. Not to lie. Because you, the spirit of holiness, lives in us. Now we can restrain our anger. We can control our anger because the power of your spirit. And because of your power of spirit, now we can go out and work. We can make our own living. We can earn our honest income. And we can have the generosity to share, to give part of our income with people in need, so that we can truly become rich in your eyes. And because of your spirit of wisdom, Now we can understand first, engage the situation first, and decide what good words we may say to people to build them up, not to put them down. May you help us. May you empower us to live out this new life. In your precious name we pray. Amen.